How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Wow.
It shouldn't take this long.
Welcome to the Weekend Update with Dave Dufour and Keith Parrish.
Every Monday on the Athletic NBA Show.
It did the same thing to me that it's intended to do to the world.
Ding, ding!
I have access to information that the public doesn't.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Ding Weekend Update on the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Dave Dufour here with Keith Parrish. Coming up, Jose Alvarado was smoking hot on Sunday. The Kings keep the lights on, and Anthony Davis did something we haven't seen since Kobe Bryant. Before we start, don't forget you can get this podcast with no ads by subscribing at theathletic.com/NBA show. Jose Alvarado scored 38 freaking points, Keith. Career high. The man never scored more than 30 points in college to lead the New Orleans Pelicans to a 121-106 victory over the Denver Nuggets on Sunday. And he's the lead story for a reason, Keith. This is a guy known for defense. Grand Theft Alvarado. We know about the play where he goes and hides in the bench, gets the steals. It was a great story last year. This whole team was a great story last year. Well, now they're a good team. And Jose Alvarado is absolutely crushing. 38 points in this game. Hit a ton of threes, man.
Yeah, Dave, he made 8 threes. I got to say, so you said it like he's a fun story for those steals. And, you know, I've said it before and I feel bad about it in my life. I called him a novelty act once. I didn't even mean it insultingly. I'm just like, he does this cool, fun thing. That's his trick. That's his way. He's going to be a backup point guard. But then on Sunday, you see him in a big game between two Western Conference powerhouses. He comes out and just dominates the basketball game on the offensive end. Making those 8 3-pointers, the 38 points.
Does it off the bench, Keith. 38 points off the bench. I mean, what a luxury for this team.
Well, the Pelicans bench is so good, and one of the things that makes them good and that Willie Green has really, I feel like, gotten a handle on is they've got a good starting lineup, and they have good players. And, like, in this game, so Brandon Ingram's not playing, which they you know, it's plug and play. Herb Jones is not available. They have this bounty of just different options to go to. But they can pivot from, hey, you know what? Our starters aren't the most effective thing. Like, Jonas Valanciunas is not going to be our most effective route in this game. Nikola Jokic got Jonas Valanciunas in foul trouble. That's an error by Nikola Jokic. You did not want to send Valanciunas to the bench because Jokic could do whatever he wanted against them. When Larry Nance comes in, and then all of a sudden Alvarado comes in, you got this second unit for the Pelicans, and they take off. And, of course, when Jokic goes to the bench, that's when the Pelicans win the game. It's those times where this Pelican second unit, led by Jose, just dominates.
That's right. Jokic in this game, 32 points, 16 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals, and a block. That's a great game. In 37 minutes, he was +2, Keith. Jonas Valanciunas was -21 in his 14 minutes. I mean, that literally is the story of the ball game. We can talk about Jose Alvarado, who he crushed, but the truth is that the Jokic-Valanciunas matchup was all that mattered for real. Larry Nance was a +17 off the bench, and I love the wrinkles that they've got here. When they run Nance and Zion Williamson and Alvarado, that team is kind of fast, and Larry Nance looks a little bit like a Draymond Light. I'm not going to say he's the defender, although he did have a great block in this game, a help side block. But I will say the way that he moves the ball on offense, they had this nice little pitch play, him and Alvarado. It looked like Steph Curry and Draymond Green, except Alvarado missed a wide open three. You know, that was one of his 3 misses on the 11 attempts. But love what Larry Nance is doing for them off the bench.
And, like, I think they've understood that maybe their best, most versatile way to attack teams is with Larry Nance in there. But it's just, again, it's the bevy of options. They have. Like, we haven't even basically mentioned Zion Williamson. I mean, he was incredible. He had 25 points. He had this huge game on Friday night. He had 30 points and 8 assists. Like, they can run stuff through Zion. They have Trey Murphy, who is just dunking people into oblivion now, not just a 3-and-D guy. Their haul from last year's draft of getting Trey Murphy 3 and Herb Jones and Alvarado, like, that is unreal to add to, again, this team that has CJ McCollum. Like, it has Brandon Ingram. It has Zion Williamson. Like, they're so deep. They're so fun. And then when you see, like, Alvarado going off, you're just like, who doesn't like this team? I mean, this team is one of the more entertaining teams to watch. And just the way they can keep hitting you with different guys, it's incredible.
Yeah, the D and 3-and-D for Trey Murphy was definitely dunked today. Those two dunks, they were just monster dunks, man. That guy, he just 6'7". They just have grown a couple of 6'7 guys who can do random stuff, and it's pretty cool to watch. And like you mentioned, they didn't even have Brandon Ingram out there today, and not even a bump in the road.
Well, also, it's like CJ McCollum. We haven't said his name, because I think CJ McCollum, I'd love to hear from him after these last two games, where like he just understands, I don't have to assert myself, because we have so many things going on. Like, he's a very good shot creator, a shot maker. He's a good postseason shot creator. They're going to need him in the postseason, and they're making the postseason. Like, they're going to need him, you know, in these half-court battles. But the last two games, he's like, I don't have to do anything. My buddies are going to, I'm here if you need me. Here if you need me. But, like, when Alvarado's going off, let the man cook.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Keith, this is a big topic on Buds this week, but we've got to talk about the Kings. They pick up a couple of big wins over the weekend. Now, look, the Clippers, they don't have Paul George. They don't have Kawhi. They're just not as good of a team as we expected them to be right now. But anytime an opposing team gets a chant for them to win the game in your arena, that is demoralizing. That might be the end of the Clipper season.
I don't want to overstate it, Dave, but I agree with you. Clippers, you're done this year. You had a Kings chant broke out in the crypto. I'm not a Kings historian. Has this ever happened before? Have the Kings in a road game ever gotten a chant from their fans? Like, they're trying to light the beam in Los Angeles. They wanted to light the beam in Los Angeles. That was a day game, too. No one will tell me, is the beam visible in daytime?
That's a question for Jake King. I think, and he's got his Kings minute on Buds today. But the Kings, they had the Bulls at home on Sunday afternoon, and the Kings beat the Bulls. You know, they're not a good team, but they're fine. And DeMar DeRozan had 18 points, 41 points from Zach LaVine. But once again, the Kings did it team style. Malik Monk led them in scoring, 20 points off the bench. Domantas Sabonis had 11, 10 assists, and 17 rebounds. And Keith, basically, that was the game.
Yeah, I mean, this Kings team, much like the Pelicans, they just have a bunch of guys that can all perform. And you don't know who it's going to be on any given night. Like, you could work up a Kevin Huerter's the most improved player as he's moved from an Atlanta offense where he wasn't given this much freedom to move around and there wasn't that much movement. And now he's on the Kings and he's just, like, lighting it up. But, like, Huerter was off on Sunday. Didn't have a good game. It doesn't matter. Malik Monk steps up. You always have De'Aaron Fox going hard. Davion Mitchell had a great defensive game. And then there's Sabonis. Sabonis racks up a triple-double. The way he's moving the ball, the way this team just attacks everyone offensively. Like, they are such a good offensive team. And then, like, even Sabonis is starting to make his three-pointers. Like, if he adds that outside element, I mean, how are you going to stop this Kings team?
Yeah, the Kings had 30 assists with 40 made baskets. I mean, this is just kind of what they've become under Mike Brown since he's gotten there. The vibes are good. Seems like he's brought over a little bit of that Golden State Warriors offense. Has him competing on defense. And then you get Keegan Murray, who just as a rookie is able to step into the starting lineup and he's ready to play and score. Made a smart cut tonight, caught one of those assists from Sabonis for a really smooth reverse layup. And he's a guy that, I mean, he could, if you told me in 3 or 4 years, he's the best player on this team, and I wouldn't be shocked. And that's crazy because they have De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, and it's such a luxury. Again, I keep comparing these two teams to the Pelicans. I mean, the Pelicans and Kings are their league pass darlings. They're super fun. They have all these talented, vets and young guys. And you can have a thing where Keegan Murray goes into a lull. Like, he had several games before this where his shots weren't going in, but, like, it's fine. They have enough leeway, enough talent where that's not going to sink them. And then he comes back in this game, makes a bunch of big plays. Like, there's nothing better, in my opinion, as a fan, to be good and also have, like, a lottery guy doing stuff. Where it's like, hey, we're pretty good. Also, we have Keegan Murray, who we get to start and play. And the Pelicans are enjoying some of this. Like, hey, we're actually good. Let's start Dyson Daniels. let's just give Tyson Daniels some burn. He's fun. He plays defense. He passes the ball well. So, like, man, I am ecstatic for both of these franchises. And as a Grizzlies fan, I'm nervous about them because both those teams are very, very good.
I was going to say, yeah, as a Grizzlies fan, you're used to being in the position of being pretty good with,
we got the same thing. The Grizzlies have a 2-0 weekend. You league pass junkies, go watch Jaws' third quarter against the Pistons on Sunday. It is absurd. But yeah, like to be good, to be competing at the top of your conference and then also still be like, hey, everybody's under 25. It's pretty fun. I recommend it.
We got to talk about the Lakers, Keith. 2-0 weekend. They had a big win against Milwaukee the other night. Anthony Davis had 44 points in that game. Now, they played the Wizards on Sunday. The Wizards have sort of become a league pass darling. They play fast. They play fun. Kyle Kuzma. You know, everyone loves Kyle Kuzma. Well, the Lakers, they beat him 130-119.
I don't think he does. I saw a play when Anthony Davis dunked. I don't think he loves Kyle Kuzma.
Anthony Davis just continues to be ridiculous. He's the first Laker to have back-to-back 40-point games since Kobe Bryant did it in 2013. He had 55 points. He was 22 of 30, 2 of 3 from downtown, which he stopped shooting threes, which hit a couple today. 17 rebounds and 3 blocks. Is anybody playing at the level that Anthony Davis is right now?
It's a wild thing to say because like 5 days ago, I was like, Devin Booker's the best player in the world. Because Devin Booker basically scored, I don't know what the exact number, 95-something points.
Yeah,
but I'm saying over a two-game span. Yeah.
Right.
Booker had 51 in three quarters, 20 for 25 from the field, following up like a 40-point game. But then this weekend, the Lakers, who you could poke holes in their turnaround a few days ago. You could say, yeah, they're really good at defense, but look at their schedule. Look at they're playing all these home games. They got to play the Spurs. We were making fun of them last week. They played the Spurs 3 times in 8 days. That's not going to last. This December is going to make or break them. And we think it's going to break them because they have 12 road games in December. Well, they go to Milwaukee, who is 15-5, and Anthony Davis has 44, and the Lakers get a huge win. And then to follow that up with 55 points from Anthony Davis, 99 points to start off this road trip 2-0. I mean, it's an accurate assessment to say Anthony Davis is the best player on the Lakers right now. And I don't remember the last time he's played this well. And I guess in the bubble, it would be the obvious answer. But, like, he is dominating. It's like, all right, you got AD, you got LeBron. Is there going to be something else?
Well, defensively, he definitely looks like he did in the bubble. And offensively, the jumper's just not, it's not the same. But, yeah, I think defensively, he is just back to himself. It's great to see this guy healthy. And he's moving so well, which has been the big problem the last couple of years. Not that he was heavy necessarily, but he just looked like it hurt to move. And so, obviously not in any pain right now and has just been absurd. LeBron James had 29 points in this game. Now, look, if I was going to poke holes in what the Lakers are doing, it's the eventual math problem they're going to run into. 26 three-pointers in the modern NBA. That's their attempts on Friday and on Sunday. And they were 11 of 26 and then 10 of 26. This is not a very good shooting basketball team. They need to find a way to get that volume up, I think, because, you know, look, the Wizards have been fun to watch, but this is not like a good basketball team. So I don't know that we can take away a lot from the Lakers outside of saying Anthony Davis looks amazing. And now they got to figure out the rest of this as they go forward. They're 10-12 as we record this Sunday night. They're not out of it, man. And I think that anyone that was writing them out of it in, you know, they just didn't look at the West and how crowded everything is. I mean, you know, it wouldn't take much if the Lakers could get a couple of pieces. You could see them actually, they're going to be in the mix for the playoffs, and I think they're going to make the play-in at this point. Anthony Davis stays like this, and they're in. It's going to be health going.
So a lot of stuff you said that I want to respond to. One, like the math problem about the three-pointers. I do know, as a Memphis Grizzlies fan, you can somewhat overcome that lack of three-pointers with interior play, with points in the paint, with second-chance points, with defense. And that's everything that Anthony Davis has been doing. The Lakers have been doing very, very good at defense. And then you look at this team rounding into form. I mean, they're a Andrew Nimhard buzzer beater from having 6 straight wins. And they have won, I think they've won something like, it's like 8 of 10. They did that to move from 14th to 12th. So, like, they're still behind everyone. It's still hard. That's why these national talk shows, we keep pumping back the, are you going to make a trade? Because with AD playing like this and with LeBron James and one of his, you know, maybe this is the very, we keep saying it's the end of his peak, but who knows? Like, with them playing how they are, like, are you content with fighting for the play-in? Or is the, but I don't know if there is a trade out there that raises their ceiling anymore. But right now, I guess we can just enjoy it that Anthony Davis is on a heater, an Alvarado-esque heater for Anthony Davis, playing absolutely astoundingly well, and the Lakers all of a sudden are turning some heads.
And we're going to wrap the show up on a sour note because, you know, we just don't like when people don't get along. Atlanta Hawks star Trae Young missed the Hawks home game on Friday. And according to Coach Nate McMillan, according to Coach Nate McMillan, it was due to a miscommunication, to which I ask, did he not get the team refrigerator magnet calendar, Keith?
I don't understand.
Apparently, according to a report on The Athletic from our own Shams Charania and Sam Amick, the two got into a bit of a heated discussion at practice the other day. And apparently there was an issue with how Trae was going to go about being ready for the game. He's been dealing with some shoulder soreness. Nate McMillan wanted him to, you know, go through shoot around and get treatment and then be ready to play. Trae wanted to see how he felt as the day progressed, and they just didn't agree. And Keith, look, you players and coaches disagree all the time. At a certain point though, there's a pattern of behavior where if you constantly disagree with your coaches, and this is not the first time, I think the organization probably needs to figure this out because they actually put a lot of equity into getting DeJounte Murray, and it was to make this particular partnership, like, this is the only way this works for Trae Young. You got to have a guy out there who can defend at that level. You need another guy who can create. Went out and got DeJounte Murray, and now you're still not happy. So you need the organization to step up, right, Keith?
Are you doing the DeJounte Murray trade? Is the maybe a baby will save our marriage? Is that the parallel you're drawing?
Listen, I'm just saying.
Is this unprecedented? You know? I do not remember a player missing a game because of a miscommunication, which is what Nate McMillan said. I'm not coming to the game tonight.
Well, I appreciate Nate not wanting to throw him under the bus.
Oh, of course. Of course. He didn't want to do that. And we understand there's all the, you got to massage all of these relationships. But like normally, all right, maybe in the past there's been a personal reasons, you know, someone's out for personal reasons and we never find out the story. And it was like got in fight with coach were the personal reasons. But this one is, it's bizarre. To have it come out that they got in a fight and Trae Young says, I'm not going to come to the game. Like, I'm not going to play the basketball game. It's wild. And I don't know how you deal with that. The Hawks aren't bad. The Hawks are having a fine season. And to have your star player, to have your building block, the face of the franchise, elect not to play is, it's weird. I guess another adjective I'll throw at it.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, the Hawks, they beat the Nuggets on Friday. DeJounte Murray had 34 points, 8 assists. So, you know, this is a team that should be better than they have been. And we talked about them on Nerder last week and some of the weird stuff, which now seems a bit prescient since Trae Young's decided he's just going to, you know, a no-call, no-show for an NBA game. I love that, man. Respect.
Hey, I thought it was Thursday. Oh, is today Friday? Oh, I missed the game. I miscommunicated. I can't. That's my life. I would have done that. But I would assume in an NBA game, someone else would be there to let me know, like, hey, man, you got to be the arena. You got a job tonight.
Anyway, that's going to do it for today's show, folks. Thank you guys for listening. Keep it around for Basketball Buzz coming up next. It's a great show today. Keith, let's get out of here.
Ding, ding.